Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast presented by MAP. This is our final episode of the Shimano Summer Series. Thanks to Shimano for being able to bring you a series that's run from the back end of the Tour Down Under to the Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race. If you haven't already, check out our previous episodes, which looks at the sport from a range of perspectives. To support us, please hit subscribe, leave a review on the iTunes store, and tell a friend about the podcast. Today, we're talking to Jai Hindley and Chris Hamilton about Teen Sunweb and the process of signing their first ever contract. Welcome to the Stanley Street Social Podcast, boys. I'm here with Jai Hindley and Chris Hamilton. First ever podcast?
It is, actually. Yeah, I've never... Yeah, first ever, actually, professionally speaking, I think. For a reason.
Any on stage performances?
Maybe one or two, but I mean definitely in primary school, in the school play, but aside from that, one or two that I can think of.
We're at Cadel Evans Great Ocean Road Race and you're a day out. There's just not a whole lot to do, is there?
Nah, it's like the old pre-race lounge around.
What do you do?
Lounge around, basically.
You pretty much, the past 3 weeks, you pretty much live for meal times. Yeah. You wake up, go to brekkie, then go for a ride, and then depending how long your ride is, you either wait around a little bit for lunchtime, or you go straight to lunch, and then you fill your afternoon in doing anything you please, and then it's dinner time, and then all of a sudden another day is done.
Do you have like a go-to activity?
Nah, you're pretty much just like parked up on your bed and that's it, man. It's like pretty blasé.
Going to the coffee shop's a pretty good time killer though. You can bowl over an hour or two doing that after lunch.
You guys are both young, youthful athletes. Is there anything outside off the bike that you do?
I spent a lot of time underneath the bonnet of my car. Yeah, that occupied a great deal of my time this year, which I love doing.
As a hobby mechanic, kind of?
Yeah, just making it faster and louder and all the good stuff. So it's probably one of my favourite things.
So the reason I want to chat to you two both is you're both on Teen Sunweb. You've been on the team now for... looking for how many years?
Two years.
And Hindley...
1 year.
1 year.
Starting my second.
So you're both new to the team. I've heard some good things about this squad in terms of how they progress riders. And Campbell gave me a stat too. 10 guys under 25.
I did not know that.
You're a pretty youthful team.
Yeah, super young.
So you guys both turned pro. How far out did Teen Sunweb start to approach you, start talking?
If I think back around... April or May of 2016 was when I first had contact with the team.
And what is the first contact?
Just Luke Roberts, actually, just gave me a call one day out of the blue.
A little bit of an Australian touch?
Yeah, it was nice. And then, it was super cool, actually. I was just coming back from an injury. I got hit by a car at this, like, early 2016, and so it was one of my first ride backs. And I just remember being at the cafe on Saturday morning and getting a phone call from the boss himself. And
from Germany?
I guess it would have been, actually. And, I was happy to cop the international phone call rate and such.
Expected?
Not at all. Yeah, absolutely not. But, he came and we went over to Europe with the Vantiaso way, or now, Bridge Lane.
Maybe it's Bridge Lane.
Yep. He met me in the team house we had over there in Beloil in Belgium. There might be a few listeners out there that'll click when I mention that name. went from there.
And what did he say on the phone?
He just said, look, we've...
Hey, I'm Luke Roberts.
Yeah, we've had a bit of interest in you after your ride at Down Under and... Cadels and Nationals and...
You were under 23 national champ?
It was, yeah. Yeah. And he said there's been a bit of interest from the team and Yeah, obviously there's a few guys we're looking at, and can we get some data and such? And then I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And then gave Fens the call pretty well straight away, and he set up, bundled up a nice package for him and sent that off. And yeah, I guess they liked it, and yeah.
Enjoy?
Yeah, I mean, it was sort of similar. I think I'd...
You're in Italy at the time?
No, it was actually a couple of weeks after Sun Tour in 2017, I think. But yeah, I remember I got a WhatsApp message off Graham Brown, actually, asking me...
Another Australian touch?
Yeah, Brownie's a real good dude. And he was basically just saying someone from somewhere had like been in touch with him and they were trying to get in touch with me. So, I just gave him, he gave me some details or something like that, I think. And then yeah, I was speaking to the scout of Team Sunweb.
Yeah. So was there much personality kind of questioning, like what else you do, that kind of?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, he was asking me everything, you know, like how I got into cycling and yeah, like what I got up to off the bike and, you know, asking about family or whatever and that sort of stuff. So yeah, it was pretty cool.
And then you signed a contract. How long was the time between initial talks and pen on the dotted line?
It would have been maybe a month or two. Basically, I signed my contract in the Brussels airport in a hotel lobby at the Brussels airport just before we were flying back to Oz after our Euro trip.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's basically just because the management company I was working with, that was just suited them to meet it there. But I mean, it could have been a lot quicker. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of faffing around and whatnot. Obviously, when you get offered your dream job, you're not gonna stuff around too much.
Yeah. And then you sign. What happens after that, Joe?
I don't know. I guess it was just like a huge relief, eh? Like it was pretty much something I'd been working for my whole life. So, yeah.
Did you go out and party a bit that night?
Well, probably not that night. I can't remember when I actually signed it, but yeah, it was pretty sweet, eh?
You forgot to add the bombarding of questions that I got from Joe off Facebook about the team, though. Hardly heard from the guy in my life. Next minute.
Well, you bit sus, Joe.
20 Qs straight out of the bat.
Oh, I just wanted to know what I was getting into, so.
Hi, Havo. Hope you're well. Brace yourself.
What'd you ask him?
Oh, I was just asking him just like general stuff about the team, you know, like, I don't know, like what he thought of the guys in the team or how he thought like the team treated him, all that sort of general jazz. So,
so you spent your whole career upbringing trying to be a pro cyclist, correct?
Yeah.
Maybe not so much for you.
Yeah, I don't think I did. I definitely wasn't expecting, thinking that it was a feasible career. Like when I was mountain biking, obviously that was the dream, but not many people make a good quid out of being a professional mountain biker, unfortunately.
But it was when Matt Keenan announced that the Hurricane was here, that's when he knew what he wanted to do.
When did he do that?
I think that was Bay Crits of... Oh, it must have been... Oh, that was pretty early on.
National Crit Champ, wasn't it?
It was Bay Crits when I did the support race.
When you lapped the field.
Yeah, 2 days in a row. let's not leave. Port Arlington and Williamstown, they were my...
Key words there, 2 days in a row.
Yeah. B2B, lap the field, thanks for coming.
Low-key flex.
Yeah, that must have been 2014, I reckon, almost. And then, after that, that was when ACJ tracked me down.
And that was when I was on the team and I heard about this kid from Bendigo
that's right.
ACJ and Fenner were going mad for.
Yeah, understandably.
But for you, Jai, like going through the junior ranks and whatnot, was it kind of a bit of a relief? I've signed that contract that I've always wanted.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I'd always wanted to be pro. And then, I'd just been working for it for like eternity, I guess. And yeah, it wasn't like a real, like, you know, I didn't have a, like, I wanted to do it, but I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to until like maybe 2016 or something, when I got the gig with the Aussie national team, which was like a bit of a career changer. So
yeah. And so what happens? You've signed a contract, now what? What, from a team's perspective, what do they do? What are you doing? I guess it depends where you're at. You guys were both coming into the Australian summer, but what kind of things did they have in place to, I guess, introduce you to the team?
I think for both of us would have been pretty similar. I mean, you get, there's a lot of emails and stuff, obviously, and info, all your sizings and whatnot. But I think for both of us, the first introduction, they do like an end of year team meeting in the Netherlands, near the right next to the service course, basically. Everyone goes into a hotel and you stay there for 3 days, and that's where they do all the meetings, all the sizing, a lot of the bike fittings and stuff like that. If you haven't done early. The year I joined it was in December, because it didn't work to do it in October or something when they normally do it. So we did that and then went straight to a training camp in the south of Spain. Yeah, the year you joined was the better year to be there, because that year the season was done and it involved a lot of drinking. So made that.
Yeah, no, it was pretty fun. And like, yeah, for sure the best way to like, yeah, meet the new guys is just to get absolutely like sliced, you know what I mean? So
Joe actually got his shirt ripped off.
Really?
Which I enjoyed seeing.
By himself?
No, it's a tradition to have the Neos shirts ripped off, which I missed out on because there was no drinking at there. There was no partying at there the year I was there. But yeah, he didn't take it too well, actually.
It was a huge night in downtown Deventer on a Monday night or something.
Yeah, it would have been a Monday. Yeah, but yeah, Joe was fuming, which was nice.
Did you do any team bonding activities besides consuming alcohol?
No. If I'm honest.
Was it intimidating, though, in a way, or I guess, that you've never been on another team that's not Australian? It's not, like, going to the national team, it's not exactly hard to fit in, to get to know them. You go into a German squad, like...
Yeah, it's just like a completely new environment, basically. And yeah, Aussies are like, I don't know, they're pretty, like, I don't know, just other Aussies can just get on with other Aussies, like that sort of thing. So, yeah.
And also, you probably race with them. You probably...
Yeah, exactly. Everyone sort of knows everyone in the Australian cycling community. But yeah, you're going into like a team full of guys that you've never met, you've like never heard of before, and it's pretty daunting, I guess. Yeah.
And for you, Joe, like, how many, you had Andrew and Steve's team of mixed ages, but Joe, you kind of just had the national team where everyone's the same age.
Yeah.
And you're all of a sudden in a men's squad.
Yeah. So yeah, you're pretty much just like right at the bottom of the pecking order straight up. So
did you grow up pretty quickly?
Yeah, you just learn habits of and how to live with or room with people, and you learn what people like. You like the do's and don'ts of, you know, etiquette in your hotel room and that sort of thing. I don't know, keep tidy. But yeah, you do have to grow up really quick. I mean, for me, I'd spent a little bit of time living in Europe, but then all of a sudden you just pack up everything and ship over to Spain. And then, yeah, start over. It's interesting.
Is there, like, what does the team, do they advise you on where you should go or how you should go about getting there or where they want you to live or what's...
Not really. I think as long as you live near an airport, they don't really... You could even live in Glasgow if you wanted to.
Yeah, I think they just, like, advise you to live near a big international airport or something, and then that's pretty much it. You can just do... fly from there.
Yeah, I had no idea. I just chose Girona because there was three people I knew in pro cycling, Lounsey, Jack Haig, and Steele, Von Hoff, and they all lived in Girona. So I'm like, well, I'll go there.
And the setup, is that still all on your own? It's just, you just go, as with, I guess, every other team, it's just go over there and sort it out.
Yeah, it's definitely like a lot different to the national Aussie team where you just like rock up at Malpensa and yeah, Jones.
You've got a car there and you've got your apartment sorted and the ETC is down the road and
they're good. Like the team helps. They help out a lot with getting visas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you don't have to. It's not too much of a stress about that because. You know, you mentioned visa around pro cyclists and people get the chills. It's like a forbidden word. But, but aside from that, it's you could live at the team house if you wanted to in Limburg or, go find your other place. And, I mean, it's not a bad place in the south of the Netherlands there, but it's not quite my cup of tea.
Is there much German efficiency within the squad?
There's actually not a lot of German. I mean, we have a big... German.
There's a lot of German efficiency, yeah. There's a lot. Like
German management?
A lot of it's Dutch, actually.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Like, majority, everything is based in, all their like office and service course and stuff is in Holland, and most of the staff are as well, and they all have to live up there. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of German riders, and they have a German license and such, but, yeah, it's a combination, that's for sure.
It's like a Swiss watch, mate. Everything is just ticking along. Everything's in its like right place. Yeah.
Which is what you want.
Oh, for sure, yeah. No, it's super organized and yeah, basically yeah, there's like a fair bit of protocol action, but yeah, I mean it's all for the best interest of the team, I guess. So
was that nice, Jai coming for you had national team the year before, but the Italian team the year before that. Coming from that squad where I imagine things were a bit difficult, and also for you, Hamo, Andrew and Steve were always trying to find sponsors last minute. It was a hard market to be stable in versus what you've got now.
Yeah, you don't. It is a massive like weight off your shoulders, and I guess, yeah, the team's pretty good for in the fact that they like to do long contracts and stuff for the young guys. Yeah, which for an Australian, I think is super important because when you're even for the guys in Europe and stuff, it can be. I mean, you already live in Europe, so if you get towards the end of the year and you haven't got a contract signed or anything like that, you live there anyway. But whereas for an Aussie, if you start getting towards the end of the season, you're like, oh shit, do I have to start selling all my things and thinking about shipping back home or like so? There, the job security and that is a massive deal for me and. Yeah, it's like you said, it's one of those things you never have to think about if they're, you know, are we going to roll over again next year or what's going to happen? It's good.
And so, how long's your contract?
I'm,
if you don't mind me asking.
No, I've just started.
How much are you getting paid? How much is that going?
No, I've just started. I'm at the start of a 3-year contract now, so.
And that's off your first NeoPro contract? Of 2 years?
Yeah, so yeah, 2 years and now I've just signed a 3-year one, yeah.
And you're on 2 years, Jai?
Yeah, I've got another 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
And so after that, how does the second one compare to the first one? In terms of what they tell you, what your progression is, what your targets are, how your race program fits?
Yeah, you get, you have a lot more responsibilities and that sort of thing. I mean, yeah, you're no longer a Neo Pro, so you can't be like, oh, well, he doesn't know any better sort of thing. So you are expected to, you know, speak up a bit more and take charge a bit more. And yeah, also, but with that comes more opportunities. So like I got to be in a leader's role at the Tour Down Under, which yeah, was pretty important to me and a massive opportunity. So, yeah, with the responsibilities and stuff, definitely comes a reward. But they do, yeah, you definitely get asked a lot more out of yourself. Yeah.
And Jai, as you came in as a first year, what were your goals for that year? What was the team expecting? What did you need to deliver on?
Yeah, I mean the team didn't really have like much in terms of like expectations for me, I guess it was, they just said like, we want you to learn as much as you can and yeah, just like adapt to the pro environment sort of thing. And yeah, that's super nice, eh? Like when you sign a 3-year deal and you can just go into your first year knowing like, even if I do like screw up major, it's, you know, at least I got like another 2 years or whatever.
Yeah.
So
yeah, there is, yeah, they literally in your first year, it's like we expect
have no expectation. Yeah,
like just make it out the other side and we're happy.
Yeah,
yeah, which
is something you know, really, like yeah, when you I see mean, a 2-year contract.
Yeah, a lot of teams like say they're like that, but at the end of the day, I think this is one of the few.
And like you look at a 2-year contract and you go, oh, 2 years, like 2 full seasons, but it's really.
It's over before you know it.
It's 1.5 as yeah. well.
Mate, like we're already at the end of January in 2019, so.
You don't get to December to prove yourself.
Not at all. Yeah, you get the first year to go.
And then also for you guys trying to work out how to live in Europe, in another country, not living with mum and dad.
Yeah, you know, that's right.
It's a pretty big asset.
Yeah, you got to things like apartment leases and stuff. Are you gonna get one that, you know, you're going to have... live in like a furnished one or commit to having your own, or are you gonna end up homeless like Jai Hindley? I don't know, it's all yeah.
He homeless,
yeah long story short, yeah, not a home.
Why
don't own a key.
Why are you homeless?
So basically I got an email off my real estate people in December last year saying I just needed to vacate the apartment before 31st of January, and I was thinking like, shit.
You were back here.
Yeah. But what had happened was the owner like sold his house and he needed to move back into his apartment. And I'd like agreed with the real estate people to renew the contract for another year, but I hadn't actually signed anything. Because we'd sort of like agreed when I went back to Oz. And then, yeah, I was pretty much just roasted. So
you're going back this year with no house.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. Right. But thanks to this awesome bloke sat opposite me, Guardian Angel, we put all my belongings into the back of his car and then, yeah, put it all in his garage, which was like a true lifesaver. So shout out to the man.
Did you kind of attach yourself, it's a bit of a weird word, but have like a mentor that kind of took you through that first year? Within the team, without outside the team, like.
Yeah, I mean, I lived with Lounsey in my first year over there, so he sorted out the apartment and stuff. I had no idea. I'd never been to Girona or anything like that. I've been to the Barcelona airport once or twice, maybe, but so yeah, when I rocked up, it was a massive battle to find a place. But yeah, in the end, we got one, and then it was just rocked up and started life from there, so that was a massive help. And then it takes you a little while to get settled in, but no, it's good.
Pretty hectic.
Do you see you're coming into, well, we started the 2019 season, but say in October, November, December last year, did you come in knowing what you're doing this year?
December, I knew every race that I'm doing this year. Yeah. So at the end of December training camp, you know your full calendar basically for the next season.
And does that have, like, you're here going to this race to win, you're going to this race to support this person? Like, how detailed is it?
Yeah, it's super detailed. I mean, and then you get, like, a calendar of your training program, basically, and it's all, like, you'll have the races and, I mean, it sounds super basic or whatever, but it's all, your year is colour-coded into where your form's meant to be and
red hot is... red hot form.
Yeah, so like for me, January is red. I've got to be good in January.
Green means you're creeping.
Yeah, and then so after this, I'll go into a green patch of February, and then start to pick up a little bit in March. But no, it's actually. I mean, I never thought anything of it, but once you start speaking to guys in the bunch and in town and that sort of thing, like there's. Yeah, guys get to 2 weeks before a grandy and they don't know if they're going or not.
It's super detailed. Like, it will have, you know, you're leading for this race or we need you in the finals at this race sort of thing. So you'll be like the
Life. Need you in the breakaways at the welter.
Yeah. That was a bit of a different thing, but yeah, like it's just so organized. And
then is you coach guys coach within the team or outside?
Yeah, everyone has to be coached within the team.
And then the coach takes that and delivers you.
Basically, or your trainer. So you have a coach and a trainer. So your trainer.
What's the difference?
Well, the trainer's in charge of your training. And that's all they do. They're just in charge of having
and you. Like the coach is basically like your DS that you get assigned.
Yeah.
So the guy that you talk about, you talk to about like all the like logistics and that sort of stuff.
Well-being and...
So it's just like an Andrew, Christy Johnson and Fenner.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
For you again.
Yeah, it is exactly like that. So I work with Brian Stevens. He's my trainer. Yeah, another... fellow Aussie, and then Luke Roberts is my personal coach, so I've got a pretty good combo there.
Wow. Thanks, gents. Good luck this year.
Cheers, man.
Thank you. My pleasure.
See you back at the social club.